Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Glad to be with you. Man, between Barack Obama's New Deal, the bailout, which bailout, Rick? Oh, that would be the latest bailout, the Big Three bailout, bailing out the United Auto Workers, of course. The financial institution bailout, what was it, $740 billion? Oh, sure, yeah, we can handle that. Of course, now it's up around $8 trillion. Between that and everything else, the stores falling left and right, I'll give you a list of those here in just a little bit. Something very, very strange. I talked about this the other day. Something very strange. I was walking down the hall. Guy passed. I don't know him well, but he passed. Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas. And he got this look on his face like I just told him he was late for his root canal. And I just, it kind of gave me pause for a second. I said, hey, well, what's wrong? Oh, man, I'm just trying to get through this. Trying to get through what? Well, you know, the holidays and getting through Christmas and, you know, just get to the first of the year so I can start a survival strategy. And I thought to myself, you know, I said, well, listen, have a good day. Not that he was going to, but as I started thinking about this, I started talking to people. You know, are you ready for a big Christmas? Are you ready for this? Well, no, most people aren't, at least the people I talk to. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their 401k. They're worried about keeping their homes. They're worried about the unemployment rate. I mean, people are truly, truly, truly concerned to the point that it's overshadowed just about anything that they could have enjoyed during the holidays. And I thought, well, no, wait a minute. Hang on. I mean, it's tough, and it is a depression, and there are a lot of things going on. And I started thinking, and I thought, well, isn't there something to look forward to this Christmas season? Oh, yes, excuse me, I use the word Christmas. You can fill in whatever you like. Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, you know, whatever floats your boat. But then again, I started asking people, are you looking forward to the holidays? Well, not so much. I just want to get through it. That seems to be the common thread. You've got the new president-elect, Barack Obama, and he's, as I said, the new deal, which didn't work too good the first time. They're worried about that. They're worried about whether their jobs are going to be there after the first of the year. They're worried about whether they can continue to make their mortgage payments with adjustable rate mortgages. They're worried about, and it just goes on and on. You know, in times past, yeah, gas prices are pretty high. Yeah, I guess I'll have to cut back on driving. And that was pretty much it. Or, you know, interest rates were fluctuating or something. But it seems like you're getting it from every single side. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not one of those people that can live in the moment. I can't enjoy myself unless I have all the loose ends wrapped up. And evidently, a lot of people are like me. They want to make sure everything's okay before they take the next step. Now, see, I can separate myself from that, and I can say, well, you know, thank God, very blessed to have a pretty decent job that, you know, allows me to talk to people every day, and I'm decently secure with that. I don't have to worry about losing my home, at least not yet. I still drive a big old truck that uses a lot of gas, but gas is pretty cheap these days, although it is going up. But what's Barack Obama going to do to the country? What's Barack Obama going to do with the economy? You know, this is one time when, hey, I'm behind this Democrat. Get done whatever you can get done. We need some help here. And it seems like everybody and their dog now is going for a bailout. I saw the United Auto Workers president. He was talking on one of the morning shows. And, well, we need to do this. We've got you held hostage. That was what he was implying. You can't let the Big Three go under. Otherwise, millions of people lose their jobs. Well, you could say that about any large corporation. What was it? Dow Chemical, I think, this morning. Same deal. What are they going to be bailed out? I mean, it just, schools are asking for bailouts. Cities are asking for bailouts. Everybody's getting bailed out except the people that are paying for it, and that's you. So that's my question. And I know it seems relatively simple on the surface. Are you even looking forward to the holidays? Or, well, like a lot of people, no, Rick, I need to get to the first of the year. I'm going to develop my survival strategy. If I can just get through this period of time where historically we spend a lot more money than we should be spending, if we can just get through all the gift giving and all the holiday stuff, if I can just get past that, then I can get set up and take a deep breath and brace myself for what's to come. And I thought, man, what a sad way to go through the season. What a sad way to celebrate Christmas. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to do that, but I can't help myself from thinking about it. So that's my question. With Barack Obama and bailout after bailout after bailout, which added to your other bills is something you're not looking forward to, historically a time when you do spend money on others, and that's fine, unless, of course, you don't have it, with everything that's going, this gloom and doom and, oh, my God, how are we ever going to make it through the month? I mean, are you truly, truly, truly looking forward to this Christmas season? Or like I'll be honest with you. He was on the TV side, and TV people are always much more dramatic. But still, it was, it was a legitimate feeling. And he's a generally nice guy. No, man, I just want to get through this. Well, I thought, man, that's a heck of a note. You just want to get through this. Okay. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Oh, I don't know, whatever. I just want to get through this. No telling what Barack's going to do and where the bailout's going. I mean, it almost seems like all the Christmas spirit has been sucked out of the country by Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, every time I turn on television, it's Barney Frank and Nancy Pelosi. She must just have a little room off to the cabinet there. She just changes clothes and comes back out and does another presser. All right, let's get to your calls. 1-800-449-8255. Manny in San Diego. Manny, you're on the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Yes, Rick. I'm listening to what you're saying about Obama, and most of the people that I come in contact with, they're like literally ecstatic that he's coming in to make change. And I, like you, listen to what the guy says. And the only way this all makes sense to me, Rick, is you ever hear those rock songs that the melody sounds really cool, but when you listen to the lyrics, they're filthy and disgusting? I mean, that's the best analogy that I have to the Obama phenomena.
Well, look, Manny, let's be honest. I mean, we're all in this boat together, all right? With the economy the way it is, with the mortgage industry and the big three automakers, which honestly, it affects millions of jobs. With everything that's going on, I don't want the guy to fail. I want him to succeed. Now, am I putting good money that he's going to do? I don't know. But, Manny, I got a question for you. Are you looking forward to Christmas? I mean, is it like years past when you go, man, I just can't wait to get those few days off and enjoy the family and just, oh, it's just going to be a great Christmas. Do you have that same feeling this year?
It's not as exuberant as it has been in the past. There's a great deal of trepidation, and it has to do with the things that Obama's saying. I like you, Rick. I love this country. I don't want it to fail. But you got to accept the man at his word. I mean, he has no track record, so how do you base your predictions on what the future of the country is? He's embracing collectivism. Right now, Rick, he's talking about a massive infrastructure program. The Japanese did that for 10 years, and their economy was in a decade-long, moorebound recession. It wasn't until they stopped that government spending that they let the engine of capitalism use those funds instead of having the governmental sucking machine drawing away that money.
I agree. I agree, Manny. I said earlier, I talked about it earlier with every intrepidation. You said the word intrepidation. That's how you feel going into this Christmas season. I call it Christmas. You call it whatever you want. And I think that's very apropos. And you're right. As we go into Christmas, we're thinking about Barack Obama's new deal. That, no, no, thank you. We tried that one time. Capitalism is all but dead inside the Beltway. I mean, they have their own shadow capitalistic society, but you and I have nothing to do with it. Manny, I appreciate the call very much, and, you know, for what it's worth, Merry Christmas. Eddie in Houston. Eddie, thanks for waiting here on the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good, actually. I'm looking forward to the holidays.
Good.
I don't know, more out of defiance than anything else, but...
You're looking forward to the holidays out of defiance more than anything else.
I'm going to have a good time no matter what. I'm going to be home with my family, and that's really all that matters. I'm in the military, and there's a lot of people that ain't going to be home with their families. You know what I mean?
I know. You know, Eddie, this past week, I started something 4 years ago called the Warrior Foundation, and I do an annual fundraiser. And I got to tell you, that did more for me, that one day. You know, listening to people and their stories and I mean, basically reaching out and doing what they could to help the troops. That did, as I got away from that and pushed back the microphone and started to walk away and let the dust settle mentally, I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be okay. I don't think Obama can screw it up that bad. And then, of course, a new day comes and you're back into reality once again, and people are frightened. People are scared. Intrepidation, that was the word the first caller used, Eddie. First of all, Eddie, I appreciate the service, and I mean that sincerely, and I hope you do have a good time. That's the way I was feeling until I was walking down the hall that one morning and encountered a guy that, you know, I don't know him well. I don't, you know, we don't hang together, but, you know, I see him on the TV side. He comes on the radio side, and, hey, Merry Christmas. Oh, wow, what's wrong? And I just want to get through it. I just want to get through this. I want to get through all of this. Get to the first of the year so I can make some kind of survival strategy for the rest of the year. Wow. Okay, well, that's one way to go into the holidays, I guess. Wisconsin, Jennifer. Jennifer, thanks for waiting here on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I would like to say that I probably am putting more thought into Christmas this year than I have for several years. And I think that we need to have faith in the resiliency of the American people to get through this and be more thoughtful about what Christmas is all about, whether it's faith in Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever. But as an American populace, we are an independent people, and we will get through this and come out stronger on the other side.
Well, so, Jennifer, and thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. I would hope that would be the case. And my mantra for the last 12, 13 years has been, you know, the power truly does rest with the people. That's why it's important you get involved politically. That's why it's important you vote. And the same people that I've been telling this to over and over and over again are now looking at me going, this whole power with the people thing, Rick, did that include writing a check? Mm-hmm. Did that include the bailout? Did that include borders after in a post 9/11 world still being wide open? Because, Rick, no matter how much we, the people, want to secure borders, no matter how much we want to continue to let capitalism run its course, it's not happening. What happened to the power? And then they get into this gloom and doom and the bailout and Barack, and it's just get through Christmas, let me get through this, and get my head back in the game. People truly feel like they get their head back in the game to have any quality of life. I appreciate the call very much. Are you looking forward to this Christmas, or is it just a date on the calendar you'd like to get past so you can set up a survival strategy for the coming year? I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation, toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. I want to remind you, if you get a moment, take some time, sit down and go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com, of course, all of the news stories of the day. Many of the things you hear Michael talk about are right there on the website, michaelsavage.com. And Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book, is available there as well. And we'll tell you more about that a little bit later. We were talking about are you looking forward to Christmas? And I know it sounds like one of those, what's your favorite movie and why, which I hate. I hate that stuff. What's your favorite movie and why? I don't go see movies. I don't like to sit still for 2.5 hours. That aside, there's much more involved in that question than first is thought about. Barack Obama, Barack's New Deal, the Big Three bailout, the lending institution bailout. What is that thing? Is it 8 trillion now? 6.3 trillion? I don't know. I can't count that high. Everything coming back to the doorstep of the taxpayer. So this all came about very innocently as I wish somebody Merry Christmas. That was it. Merry Christmas. Oh, gee. And as I said it, you would have thought, hey, come with me. Free root canals down the hall. It's going to be fun. The guy's a seemingly nice guy. And, you know, his whole position was, I just want to get through this. You want to get through this? Yeah, I just want to get through that date on the calendar. I want to be on the other side of it so I can start planning my survival strategy. And I thought, man, what a heck of a way to try to go through the holidays. Peter in Chicago. Peter, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for doing a good job. I have a pretty quick comment. You know, the unemployment rate is such bad, 6.9%. Recession, we're talking about all day long. You know, people are concerned. What about the 97%? I mean, they're spending out like drunken sailor, like there's no tomorrow. What are they thinking? What is your take on that?
My take on that, Peter, I didn't mean to interrupt you. My take on that is the lamestream media does what they always do. You know, the old adage, and I don't know where it came from. It was around a long time before I got in the business. If it bleeds, it leads. And God knows that's going gangbusters. If it bleeds, the unemployment figures, the bailouts, the figures going through the roof, people losing their homes. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on, which does what, Peter? It creates almost an atmosphere, whether it be perceptual or actual, doesn't matter because the end result's still the same. It creates an atmosphere of, okay, we're in the throes of the greatest depression the country has ever seen. Well, what happens to industry? What happens to business? What happens to everything that we deal with, that we interact with every single day? You tell me.
I know. That's right. I mean, they just blow it out of proportion. I mean, they got to figure this out. I mean, you go out there and you look at the people shopping. They're like, there's no tomorrow. And I mean, at the other hand, I mean, the media is like, the world is coming to the end tomorrow.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Peter. That's exactly what I'm talking about. All of that combined, and Barack Obama, new administration, are you looking forward to Christmas? This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You are on The Savage Nation. Thank you so much for being along. And, Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. MichaelSavage.com. I want you to take some time and go there. Also, Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. You'll find all that information. That's the only place you can get it, by the way. 1-800-449-TALK. 1-800-449-8255. Don't know if you have been paying attention to the news today. The state of Illinois, newsflash, state of Illinois, has just decided to stop doing business with Bank of America. Of course, the big factory there, everybody's out of a job. They're holding up little stickers. You got a bailout. I got sold out. And basically, the factory workers took over the factory with a set-in. And the Illinois governor is there, Dick Durbin, of course, he's there, senator from Illinois. And somebody asked the question that I asked the other day. Some lamestream media person out there, tell me how you feel. You know, it's like going up to an accident. There's, you know, been a horrific accident. You know, bodies are laying everywhere, and there's fire and mayhem and locusts and everything else, and somebody sticks a microphone in somebody's face. Tell me how you feel. Oh, I feel pretty good. I got up this morning, had a good breakfast. No, of course you feel bad. The lady stuck a microphone in the guy's face. What kind of Christmas are you going to have this year? And the guy's out there, no job. The company basically saying, you're all out of work. We don't have any severance pay. We don't have this. We don't have that. You know, it's kind of tough to get in the Christmas spirit. Hey, kids, let's go get a tree. But first, let me go through the want ads. I mean, that's a tough thing. And it's all started with me just wishing somebody Merry Christmas. But with Barack Obama, everybody's sort of on the edge. They don't know which way this guy's going to go. We want him to do well, obviously, because we've got to live with his decisions. You know, the new deal, and I hope he backs off from that. You know, every day I get up in the morning waiting to see, okay, who is going to be bailed out? Who are we going to bail out next? So are you looking forward to this time of year that historically most people enjoy? I mean, even if you're some old crotchety guy, I hate everything. You gotta find something to like about the Christmas holidays. A lot of people are saying, I just want to get through it. I want to get on the other side of that day on the calendar and put my head into the game and try and survive the coming year. Let's find out where you come down. Arizona, Robin. Robin, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Robin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well.
I am going to enjoy my Christmas very much.
No matter what?
No matter what. Because I celebrate Christmas, that's Christ's birth. It's not about presents and going into debt and outdoing the other person. So I'm going to enjoy it if there's not a present under my tree.
Well, look, that's a good attitude. I mean, I hope you have something under the tree. And yeah, I mean, if you're a Christian and okay, you ready? Do I do a disclaimer here? For all those people not affiliated with any theology, please turn away from your radio. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ as the living Son of God. But if you don't, you know, you do whatever trips your trigger. You know, Christmas is uniquely a Christian holiday. I celebrate it that way. I also, have some time for the fat guy in the red suit. I mean, there's something there for everybody, isn't there? I mean, you believe in God, there's your thing. It's uniquely Christian holiday, the birth of Christ. You don't believe in God? Well, you got the fat man and the reindeer. And there's something for everyone. But, and see, that's what's always been the solid rock of Christmas time. There was something there for everybody, but it's kind of tough to do when you're worried about the adjustable rate popping up. You can't afford the payment now. You've got laid off. You're working two jobs. You don't know if your company's going to make it past the first of the year. You don't know where Barack Obama's going to take the country. And of course, one guy is not going to ruin the country. Anybody can tell you that. The bailouts just keep coming and coming. It seems like all of a sudden we've become an entire nation working for the government, and depending on what whim they have that particular day, who's getting bailed out? What happened to capitalism? Where did that go? Jay in New York. Jay, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? I look at this as like it seems like a page out of the Bill Clinton handbook when he took office, or actually before when he was running. It's the economy stupid, it's the economy stupid, it's the economy stupid. That's all you heard from guys like Stephanopoulos and the other freak from Louisiana. And then they took office. The economy wasn't that bad. But when they took office, all of a sudden, Bill Clinton did this, Bill Clinton did that. The economy's great, the economy's great. And I think next year when we go in, after he gets in office, all of a sudden the media's going, oh, isn't this great, isn't this great, isn't this great. And all of a sudden, everybody that had that bad feeling about the economy, things are going to turn around. I don't think that it's as bad as everybody's making it seem like it is.
Well, Jay, it's never as bad as the lamestream media makes it out to be. That's part of what they do. And that contributes to it because it exacerbates the problem.
But I think they're going to turn around, and you're going to see next, it may not be the first month or the second month, but I think all of a sudden you're going to just see, oh, didn't he do a good job? The economy's good. The economy's good. And he's got all of those old Clinton guys, and they're going to be out doing their talking points, and all of a sudden the economy's going to be miraculously good.
Nobody's well, Jay, I would hope that you are correct. Unfortunately, I don't think I know Barack Obama's got a few bucks put back. I don't think he's got $6 trillion to put back into the economy. I don't think that he's going to breathe a breath of survival to a lot of these companies that are going under right now. And the reason it seems like the Clinton era is because about half the Clinton administration is now working for Barack Obama. So there's no surprise there. I wish I could believe that. If I could believe that, then I'd just say, hey, you know, don't worry about it. Let's get through this thing. It's all a perceptual thing. It's all to make one side of the aisle or the other look fine. But you start looking at things. I mean, look at the number of businesses that have gone under. I mean, I had a whole list of those things. I mean, it's ridiculous. Some of these businesses have been around for, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. They're gone. They're not coming back. They're not coming back. You know, and if I hear one more union worker tell me, we're making concessions, no, you're not making any concession. And part of the reason we're in this jackpot is because of... Look, if you don't know, I'm very anti-union. I'm probably the most anti-union guy you'll ever find. If you want to know what unions have done for the country, I want you to go up and look at those 20-story pigeon roosts that used to be thriving industries up in Pennsylvania and New York, all right? And then tell me how great unions are. You can't make any money paying a guy $75 an hour to ride around in a golf cart and clean drinking fountains. It doesn't work. That's why Toyota, Nissan, and BMW is kicking our butt. Scott in San Francisco, oh, man, don't even get me going there. San Francisco, Scott. Scott, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thank you. I'm actually calling about your comment you just made. That it's, you know, and the Democrats are scaring us now, saying that if we don't bail out all the big three companies, that 10% of, you know, the workforce, one in every 10 is an auto worker in the United States or auto worker involved. Well, I'm, you know, maybe I'm just in a nicer neighborhood in San Francisco, but every car that I seem to see on the freeway, you know, 75% of them aren't American cars. So what about all the workers at the Toyota dealerships and the Honda dealerships and all the people that make the auto parts for all the foreign cars? They're not going to be out of business.
Well, they're not looking for a bailout either, Scott. People always go back to, remember when Chrysler was bailed out back in the 70s? What was it, 78, 79, something like that? That was a much different landscape. You know, American automakers had the lion's share of the automobile pie. They don't anymore. And at that time, there were no foreign cars being made in America. There are now. And the difference is, Scott, you know, one person at a Toyota factory is trained for probably 8, 9, 10 different job classifications. You know, at Ford, GM, Chrysler, if the Phillips head screwdriver guy calls in sick, then, you know, God forbid anybody need a Phillips head screwdriver during the day, because they have to wait until tomorrow when the Phillips head screwdriver guy comes back. So you're absolutely right, Scott. Those companies aren't asking for bailouts, and they're selling cars. We need to let capitalism run its course. We need to let those people fall in. Yes, when they fall, a lot of people that had no hand in the demise, they get it too. That's, you know, that's part of reality. And what rises from the ashes will be a better, more competitive, and hopefully non-union shop. You know, the reason Toyota, Nissan, BMW, the rest are making money, they're not a union shop. They don't have to worry about that kind of garbage. All right, we'll take more of your calls. Are you looking forward to Christmas in the current political climate and the current economic crisis? And, you know, nobody can say it's not a crisis. It is. Is it a crisis to the degree the lamestream media is painting it out to be? Probably not. But perception is reality in this case. Plus, the $740 billion magnificently transcends to $6.3 trillion. Only in the Beltway, friends. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Toll free everywhere, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. MichaelSavage.com, the book, Psychological Nudity, Michael's fifth book. You can only get it at MichaelSavage.com, along with all the news stories of the day and a lot of the things you've heard Michael talk about. So take some time and get to MichaelSavage.com sometime today. Chicago, John. John, are you looking forward to Christmas, or are you just giving it up?
Oh, no, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Christmas. Oh, yeah, well, definitely.
How's your job? Let me. I don't want to get in your business here, John, but how's your job doing? Your job okay?
Yeah, I drive a shuttle for the airport.
Okay, so you're a driver. People got to fly, so they, you know, there's some job security there. What about your house? Do you own a house? Do you rent?
I rent.
You rent? Okay. Are you pretty satisfied that the rent's going to stay where it is and they're not going to start jacking it up on you?
No, I'm not worried about that at all.
So basically all of this turmoil that everybody's talking about is sort of like a big cloud that you just kind of drive around. It's not affecting you in any way, shape, or form.
No, not me anyway.
So you're having your regular Christmas.
That's it.
But you wouldn't be having your regular Christmas, John, if I were to look at the Chicago newspaper, would you?
Yeah, true. That's absolutely true.
I mean, you know, pick up the Chicago newspaper. Look at the front page above the fold. You know, I'd be thinking, John, you're scrambling, scratching, trying to, you know, go to the dumpsters to get cans and bottles. And, you know, some people are, by the way, and that's a sad thing. But you're looking forward to Christmas then.
Sure.
And your company's not moving anywhere. You're okay.
No, but what I was mentioning moving, this company in Chicago that's the cause of the state not getting that, I mean, the state I wanted to do business with, Bank of America.
Right.
Because they didn't get the money. Well, the word is that they're moving to Iowa. So I don't know why they would qualify for anything if they're moving.
Well, yeah, John, and see, people are going to start taking that mindset. Okay, you're not going to do business with us. You're going to move over here. That whole thing, that announcement that was made by your governor this morning, John, you know, we're asking for a cease and desist, and we're going to suspend doing business with Bank of America until they start throwing some of the money this way or throwing the money that way. John, that's not capitalism. That's extortion.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. If it were to happen to you or happen to me, that would be extortion, and that's against the law. Of course, a lot of things going on right now that are being trotted out as the news of the day should be against the law. Hartford, Andy. Andy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Good, Rick. Thank you for taking my call, and a Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you.
My point is, if we're going to do this bailout, why don't we, the people who are on the Constitution, have a ballot made up and have us pick out who we're able to bail out and how much money they should be getting, not the government, like the government that's ruining our country?
Well, Andy, that would be a representative government, a representative republic, and that's not going to, nobody's going to let that stand. Because didn't you know, Andy, all the people that work inside the Beltway, they possess a different gene, you see. They have different DNA. Somehow, some way, by some freak of nature, they were deemed to be smarter than the average person, and that's why they're in an elected position. And Andy, if you believe that, hopefully you know I'm speaking with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. Here's the bottom line: I can take just about anybody listening right now, put you in a nice suit, take you to Washington, give you a membership card to a couple clubs, and you're in the game, all right? You're in the game. You're as smart as any one of those guys up there. That mob mentality, and quite honestly, I'm talking about both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans. They don't have some edge on you. They're not any smarter than you. As a matter of fact, they're probably not as smart as most of you. You know, they operate in a vacuum that is the federal government, and somehow, some way, they believe they're doing a greater good by dictating to you how the money should be spent and where your taxes should go. And that's why a lot of people are just throwing their hands up. That's why people don't vote. That's why people don't vote. I appreciate the call. Wisconsin, Trina. Trina, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Trina.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Well, great.
Trina?
Yes.
You're calling from Wisconsin.
Yes, I am.
I've got a feeling you're a Savage listener.
I am.
What's your favorite story? You know, Michael Savage got a new book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Psychological Nudity. Every one of his previous books has been a bestseller. This is probably going to be no exception. You want that book?
I would love that book.
What's your favorite story you've heard on the Savage Nation?
Oh, it has to be one of them about Tippy and poor Tippy dying, and he was disposed of in the garbage, as it should be.
It sounds like we're being cruel, laughing about his dog Tippy being disposed of in such an, I don't know, harsh fashion, but you have to hear the whole story. Trina, I want you to hang on for just a second, if you would, because I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. How's that?
That'd be wonderful.
All right. By the way, Trina, you going to have a good Christmas?
I'm going to have a great Christmas, even though Barack is going to be our Messiah.
Even though, let me back up. Barack is going to be our Messiah?
Even though Barack is our Messiah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't sign up for that. How's your job? Do you work?
Yes, I'm in the healthcare industry.
Okay.
So that's even more frightening.
Well, then you obviously speak Spanish.
No.
Ah, well, you better get that Spanish for Dummies. Maybe go through it over the Christmas vacation if you're in the healthcare industry. What about your home? You doing okay with your home?
We're doing fine with our home. We, you know, took a mortgage on that we could afford.
Yeah.
You know?
How about, there's a radical thought. Don't borrow more than you can pay back in the worst case scenario.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Trina, good call. You stand by just a second. I'll make sure you get a copy of the book. Seattle, Washington. Steve, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Steve.
Thanks, Rick, for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm an airline pilot for a major airline here based up in Seattle, Washington. And I can truly say that I'm going to be blessed. When I first broke into the aviation industry, there was two major airlines that went belly up. I'm sure you probably remember Pan Am and Eastern. So,
oh, yeah. That's been a while ago.
Yeah, and ever since then, I have always lived within my means and not take anything for granted. I am blessed to do a job that I actually look forward to doing. And even though the economy seems to be very, very bleak and the airline industry where we're just barely getting above water, I am blessed every day just to have a job.
You know, a lot of people are, you know, that's, I guess that's the flip side of this whole thing, Steve. A lot of people that are saying, you know, this isn't the same type of Christmas as years past. You know, a lot of intrepidation. What about my job? What about my home? What about my investments? Will my retirement come later rather than earlier? What's life going to be like under a new administration? These historic bailouts. A lot of people are pretty worried. But the flip side of that is it really, really, and I don't mean to get all corny and all that, but it makes you thankful for what you do have, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And when I, like I said, when I broke into this industry, there were airline jobs being lost left and right and left. And I was blessed and able to get into the field that I actually enjoy doing. And ever since then, I have kind of kept a low key because I always know that tomorrow is never guaranteed to us.
Yeah.
And as a pilot, I'm trained to deal with in-flight emergencies. And certainly, we can say that this economy is definitely an emergency.
Okay, well, Steve, you obviously, as an airline pilot, you travel around, you talk to a lot of people. You know, you're impacted by people on a daily basis, as I am when you talk to people every day. Have you seen what I have seen, which is a lot of people just saying, look, I just want to get past the 25th of this month on the calendar so I can come up with some survival strategy? I mean, that's a pretty sad way to go into the Christmas season, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, Rick, and it's prevalent everywhere. Not as young people, college-age people, middle-aged people, elderly folks, or senior citizens are saying the same things, and a lot of my colleagues and a lot of my coworkers feel the same way too. Definitely, we're having our fingers are definitely crossed, and we're praying, we're hoping that you know we can be able to keep our jobs. But
you got to make it. You got to make it through. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
About the diversity of our culture and inviting jazz musicians and classical musicians and poetry readings in the White House so that once again we appreciate this incredible tapestry that's America. I think is going to be incredibly important, particularly because we're going through hard times. And historically, what has always brought us through hard times is that national character, that sense of optimism, that willingness to look forward, that sense that better days are ahead. I think that our art and our culture, our science, that's the essence of what makes America special, and we want to project that as much as possible in the White House.
All right. Your homework assignment is dissect that statement. He said absolutely nothing. Yeah, nothing says, oh, I feel better. When your home is being foreclosed, you're being laid off, you can't put food on the table, but you can all sit around the phonograph and listen to a good classical piece. Hmm? All right. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. I don't even know what that was. I'm sorry. You can't pay your mortgage with CDs, but listen, it's a tapestry of our cultural diversity. Yeah, okay, well, can you give us a check? No, but listen to this. This is great. And I've got a very artsy child. He can paint you a picture. I don't know what that was that he said, but it didn't mean anything. People being laid off, the absolute arrogance of these people. Okay, American taxpayer, we need $740 billion to bail out the lending institutions. Otherwise, the Earth's going to go spinning off into the sun. Okay, all right, fine. Whoops, we meant $6.3 trillion. And while we're at it, $34 billion to the big three automakers that basically is a payback to the United Auto Workers for supporting Obama during the campaign, even though they don't have the biggest slice of the automobile pie any longer because, quite honestly, they're not competitive anymore. But as long as you got good tunes, I guess, is that what he was talking about? Oh, it's the diversity and the cultural diversiveness. And you know, if I hear another liberal go on and on and on and on about cultural diversity and we need poets in the White House. Roses are red, violets are blue. I've lost my home. How about you? I mean, what is he talking about? Liberalism. You know, it's like Michael says all the time, if I can borrow a phrase, liberalism is a mental disorder. Okay, look, I've got a pretty radical announcement to make right now. All right, are you sitting down? Are you driving in the slow lane? I want conservatives and Christians to not give to charities this Christmas. Yeah, I said not give to charities this Christmas. That's right. I want conservatives and Christians to stop donating your money, with one exception. Anything to help the military is fine, because God knows the government isn't doing their fair share. You know, I've given this a lot of thought, and I believe the right thing to do this Christmas is not to give. Don't give to the homeless shelters or the soup kitchens or this or that. Now, many of you may already be cutting back on your giving this year. I know you are. You have to be. Then you may be feeling guilty about it. Well, you know, gosh, I couldn't give as much as I wanted to give, and couldn't give as much as I have in years past. But I'm here to tell you, drop the guilt. Get rid of it. You are doing the right thing by not giving. Don't feel guilty about keeping your money to take care of you and your family. That's your first responsibility. Now, here's why I'm asking Christians and conservatives not to give this holiday, all right? I'm not trying to be cold-hearted. I'm not trying to be Grinch. I'm just trying to wake people up. Wake up. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be heartless or cruel. I'm trying to get people to open their eyes, if your eyes haven't been opened, about the economic events and the political events of the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months. When you get hit up for charities this Christmas season, now again, the only addendum to this is anything for the military is absolutely top of the list. But everybody else, you need to remember most of that money goes into either A, the pockets of people who run the charities, or B, drug addicts, deadbeats on welfare who have nothing to contribute to their own lives, let alone society's. When you think of people ringing bells and asking you for money as you walk in and out of the store, I want you to think of the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan who sacrificed everything, whether you agree with the conflict or whether you don't is not the issue. They sacrificed everything for your freedom and the American way of life. And think of all those men and women coming home without limbs, with shrapnel in their bodies, who have seen their friends die on the battlefield. Again, whether you agree with the conflict or not is not the issue. You think about that. Then I want you to compare that sacrifice to the bum sitting on the roadside. I want you to think of Rosie O'Donnell, Sean Penn, Susan Sarandon, Tim Robbins, all of the other pompous Hollywood actors who call you names for being a conservative, or God forbid, a conservative Christian. Oh, my God. You know who I'm talking about, the ones who slam the troops at every opportunity. We support the troops, but they kill innocent people. You know who I'm talking about, the ones who accuse them of evil, the ones who accuse President Bush of being Satan incarnate, accuse our troops of committing genocide and random acts of violence. My take on giving this year is this. Give to those, and give generously to those who have actually done something for the country, and not to the ingrates who are nothing more than a leech on our great nation, even though they may fit in some convoluted profile of diversiveness and a tapestry of poets and whatever else Barack Obama was trying to say. And if for whatever reason that doesn't make sense to you, how about this? Give to your own family, Take care of your own responsibility. The economy's a drag. People know that. People are down on their luck. It's getting worse. But not everyone gives up and buries their sorrows in a bottle or a bailout plan. Some people actually work harder, try harder, study harder. Give to those people. Help those who are trying to help themselves. Besides, in the final analysis, Obama's going to come to the welfare crowd's defense anyway, which brings me to my third reason not to give to charities this holiday season. Politics. Politics. You're going to wish you kept some of that money for yourself and your loved ones come tax season. That's when our new president's Uber welfare state's going to kick in. And you're going to wish you kept some of that money. So you may as well start an Obama savings account right now so that that welfare mom can have her new plasma TV as she pops kids out like a Pez dispenser. Since when did having kids become a cash crop? And it's going to get worse. If you need another reason why Christians and conservatives should stop giving, here it is. I've had enough. I've had enough. Have you? I've had enough of the liberals and their name-calling. I've had enough of the attacks on churches, Mormon temples, Jewish synagogues. I've had enough of their hatred and spouting that our God doesn't exist. Now let me just give you a few facts and figures. I know liberals hate facts and figures. It just kind of muddies the whole agenda. Did you know that even though liberal families' income averages 6% higher than that of conservative families, conservative households give an average 30% more to charity than the household of the opposite political belief? Conservatives also donate more time and give more blood. Not my statistics, government statistics. Residents of the states that voted for John Kerry in 2004 gave significantly smaller percentages of their income to charity than did the residents of states that voted for Bush. Whether you like Bush or not, I mean, we're talking about the constituency. In the 10 reddest states in which Bush got more than 60% majority, the average percentage of personal income donated to charity, nearly twice as high of the bluest states. I'm sorry. People who reject the idea that government has a responsibility to reduce income inequality give an average of four times more than people who accept that proposition. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay, I'll give you one more example, a good example of liberalism. In 2000, Vice President Al Gore's charitable contributions as a percentage of his income were below the national average. He gave 0.2% of his family income, one-seventh of the average for donating household, right? But Gore gave it the office. He said he used his public office to give other people's money to government programs, and therefore, he was being charitable. Now, if Barack Obama wants to spread the wealth around, he needs to start digging in the pockets of liberals. We've got to even out the playing field here just a little bit. Conservatives must stop being suckers. Seriously, just stop it. Obama and the liberals need to start throwing all their support behind the drug addicts and bums on the street. You want to know where my money and my support's going to this Christmas? My family? Military organizations that are helping guys transition? And I'm not embarrassed to say that, nor do I feel guilty. I don't feel guilty about it. Anytime I start to feel as though I should give to this soup kitchen or that homeless shelter or this or that or the other thing, or the Save the Rotating Homeless People charities, I just say, leave it to a liberal this time around. Why the hell not? We've been doing it for way too long, and what do we get in return? What do we get in return? Here's a list of popular bumper stickers that you can read on any Obama supporter's car any day of the week. Jesus is a liberal. God wants spiritual fruits, not religious nuts. The road to hell is paved with Republicans. Republicans are people too. Mean, selfish, greedy people. Better a bleeding heart than none at all. Okay. Practice random acts of kindness and senseless beauty. The moral high ground is built on compassion. Arms are for hugging. So, here we are, giving our little conservative Christian hearts away to every charity in the book, only to be demonized as heartless, greedy, and nutty killers. Fine, let a liberal take care of it this Christmas season. As a matter of fact, that should be your slogan every time someone comes up and asks for a donation this holiday season. Let a lib take care of it. I'm tapped out. You're tapped out. It's time for us to be stingy and smart. Stingy and smart with your donations. And I hope you don't take that the wrong way. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. We need $740 billion. I mean, $6.3 trillion. All right. Your calls straight ahead. Sorry. That's the way I feel about it. I truly do. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Finally, Mr. President-elect, the White House is a no-smoking zone. And when you were asked about this recently by Barbara Walters, I read it very carefully, you ducked. Have you stopped smoking?
You know, I have, but what I said was that, you know, there are times where I've fallen off the wagon.
Well, wait a minute. That means you haven't stopped.
Well, fair enough. What I would say is that that I have done a terrific job under the circumstances of making myself much healthier. And I think that you will not see any violations of these rules in the White House.
Oh, well, hey, it's all fine. It's all good now. Don't worry about your home. Don't worry about your job because Barack quit smoking. All right? That is the most ridiculous thing. Well, Tom Brokaw, it's time to retire. It truly is time to retire. You didn't stop or you did stop. You smoke cigars? Do you smoke the unfiltered? Do you ever chew tobacco? Now, who cares? The entire country is upside down economically, and Brokaw's, well, did you stop smoking? Well, are you healthy? Well, I am healthy, and I have a poet in the White House, and good Lord. All right, 1-800-449-8255. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. We want to remind you to go to michaelsavage.com. Sorry, look, I'm going to try to look forward to the Christmas holidays. I am. You know, I immerse myself for 4 hours every day, 5 days a week, in the economic crisis that's going on, in the political cartoon that never seems to end. It's like a real life Family Guy. It's just, and I don't know who Stewie is. Maybe Pelosi. John in Sacramento. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, John?
Just fine. Just wonderful. Thank you. Yes, I just had a comment. Earlier, I'm just fed up, and I can't stand the propaganda that you and Michael Savage are actually trying to blame the American public for the mortgages that they got out. You know, it's not the American people that we should be blaming here, and you and Savage should stop that. Stop it immediately, because it is the banks that are in the banking, and the banks who are in the business of banking who are responsible. When you walk into a bank, these people are trying to sell you a mortgage. They're not trying to give you a mortgage.
Okay, first of all, John, stop for a second. Stop. Because you're accusing me of something I haven't said today, but which I partially believe, which I find interesting. I don't know if you read my mind or exactly what. What is it I have specifically said that would lead you to believe that the American people are to blame for the bailout?
You had a caller that called in earlier, and she said, you know, it's people who can't live within their means, and you sat there and you paraded her comments.
I agree with that, John. I agree with that.
Correct. Now, you have people, you have banks, they're in the business of banking. They know the language, the terminology, they know the ins and the outs of the banking industry, and they prey on people who don't have the knowledge on homestead.
Okay, well, if you don't have the knowledge and if you can't read or read English, you have no business getting a mortgage.
No, we're not talking about that. You?
No, I'm talking about that. You're accusing me of something, and I'm standing here in front of you telling you, I believe that a good portion of these bad loans were taken by people that shouldn't have taken them in the first place. They rode this market like a roller coaster, and they rode it all the way up, and they borrowed again, and they borrowed again, and they borrowed again. I'll give you a good example, John. It was like the oil boom of the 80s. The oil boom of the 80s, every guy in the oil and gas business was driving around in a new car, partying all weekend long, buying equipment like they were going to stop making it the next week. And guess what? When the bust came, they went out of business. Now, whose fault is that?
Let me give you an example.
Okay, well, don't answer my question. I'll just assume that you agree with me, and we'll move on to your next point.
The oil industry is a whole separate topic, you know. You go to a place where they repair your vehicle when you have problems. If you need a part of your home redone, retouched, you go to experts who do that. Now, are we going to blame you if someone gets over on you? for repairing your house.
John, you're telling me that when I go in to sign a contract for a $500,000 or $1 million or $1.5 million, I'm going to do that with blinders on and not know what I'm talking about? John, stay right there. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation, toll-free 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Once again, I want to remind you, go to michaelsavage.com. That's where you can get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, and we'll try to give another book away here in just a bit. John called from Sacramento just a moment ago, and to his credit, he stuck around. I appreciate that. John, restate your position, if you would, so everyone will know exactly what your call was about.
Well, my call was regarding your comment and how you're telling people or trying to convince other people that the American public is responsible for the economic situation that we're in.
Stop, John. I never said the American people were solely responsible for the economic situation we were in. What I did say specifically is that a lot of people out there took a lot of bad loans. They took loans out they knew they couldn't afford in a worst-case scenario. And the loans they did have, they kept refiing as the property values went up. And then when it went down, they were stuck. They were upside down in the house. They are to blame for their own situation. Not everybody. No one's 100% right. No one's 100% wrong. But yes, I believe a significant amount of people took out loans they should have never taken out.
But they were sold these faulty loans.
We're not talking about five-year-olds being held by the hand into Burger King. We're talking about adults. John, you sound like a reasonably intelligent person. Would you sit across the desk from someone and sign a note, a contract, a promissory note for $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million if you didn't know every T was crossed and I was dotted and what everything meant? Would you do that?
Your audience needs to know that.
Would you do that, John?
God has put us in this.
Would you do that?
America, and they have.
John, I'm not going to let you go without answering the question. It's a conversation. You talk, I talk. I ask you a question. Would you sit across the desk from a banker, a lender, a mortgage broker, and sign a $1 million contract if you didn't know everything about it?
Listen to me.
Would you? Yes or no?
Can I answer your question?
Answer my question. Would you do that?
Can I finish? Stop interrupting me.
You're going to answer my question or the call is finished. Would you do that?
I'm trying to answer your question, but you won't let me. Now, listen to me. Now, you have these contracts that are being signed by individuals, correct?
John, you're not answering my question. You're skirting the issue.
I'm answering your question.
No, you're not answering my question. John, would you sign a promissory note for $1 million if you didn't know every single thing about it?
It is much more complex than a yes and no question.
No, it is not much more complex unless you're talking about predatory lending, and predatory lending is not at the top of the list of the economic bailout, John. Would you sign a note for $1 million if you did not know every single inclusion addendum thereto? Would you do it, yes or no?
Rick, listen to me. You have people that can afford attorneys, that can oversee.
Okay, so you're basically saying, yes, you would, unless you could afford an attorney, and then you would deem it important enough to get the attorney involved. Is that what you're saying?
Do you know what country we live in? Not everyone lives at the top 2% of this country.
John, an adult is an adult. Unless you're talking about someone that is mentally impaired or is from another country that shouldn't even be getting a loan in the first place, generally speaking, if I walk up to you and say, here is something, you owe me $1 million. The first thing I'm going to ask is, well, how do I pay that back? That is contained in a loan document. John, you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out a loan document.
Rick, you, I will not stand by and let you insult the American people and its intelligence.
Okay, John, this is a nice try on your part, but I am not insulting the American people. I lift up the American people, those people that deserve to be lifted up. And the dregs on society, I call them for what they are. If you're from another country, you shouldn't even be in this country in the first place. You shouldn't have a home loan. If you're too stupid to read, you shouldn't have a home loan. If you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't be taking out a home loan. And no, I can't go back to the banks and say in every single instance it was their fault.
you compare the American people to someone with a mental disorder, you're insulting the intelligence of the American.
John, now you're skirting the issue, trying to shift the responsibility. I ask you, probably 3 minutes ago now, because I've spent way too much time on this call, would you spend your time sitting across a desk and sign a $1 million note from a banker, lender, mortgage broker if you didn't know, if there was even one thing you didn't understand? Would you still sign the document? That's a yes or no question.
How do banks stay in business? They don't.
John, I'm going to try one more time, and then the call is finished. Would you do something like that yourself personally? This has nothing to do with the American people, the lending industry, or the price of tea in China. It has to do with you, John, from Sacramento. Would you do that?
John, Rick, personally, I wouldn't. And
why?
That is because
why?
My level of education.
Why? Because your level of education?
I wouldn't.
Now who's insulting the American people? You're telling me, because you're an educated man, you wouldn't do it, but you will give a pass to everyone else that does do it because the poor soul, they just didn't have the level of education that I had. John, you're an idiot. It makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. Everybody knows they can add two and two and more often than not come up with four. If you're sitting across the desk from somebody and they say, okay, here you go, here are the keys to your new house, you owe me $1 million. If you don't ask, well, how is it I'm going to pay that back? Then you're too stupid to have a house. John, thanks for the verbal whatever this was. You've got no case. You got no argument. Mark in Reedsport, Pennsylvania. Mark, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thanks, Rick. I'm glad I finally got a chance to talk. I was tired of listening to you try and get an answer out of that guy. Here's the deal. When I went in and signed my mortgage, my wife and I, we knew exactly what our mortgage was going to cost us a month, how much we were going to pay for how many years, the interest on it. The part that we didn't really know was our property tax end of it. That's what goes up on my mortgage. Every year my property taxes continue to go up. They go up 5% every year. That's a factor that I wasn't able to calculate in. And my property taxes continue to go up. And when I was ready to buy a house, I wasn't walking down the street and a big hook didn't come out of the bank and drag me in there. I called them up, made the arrangements, found a house I wanted, found a house in a price range that I could afford, and I went and cut the best deal I could, and I got a house, and I worked like the devil to pay for it. And the same thing with like buying a car or something like that. I go out and buy a car. I know I'm going to have to pay $400 a month for 6 years, and the car is mine. You know, that's the way it works. But we live in an instant gratification society, or even an entitlement society, where people think that they're entitled to things, whether they deserve them or not, and whether they're willing to work for them or not. They think that they deserve to have them, and people run out and they have credit cards. I don't own a credit card. Never owned a credit card in my life. You know why? Because I know credit cards and the banks are bloodsuckers. They'll suck every cent out of me that they can. So I don't own a credit card. And I buy things as much as I can with cash and stuff like that, and I live within my means. Our government doesn't live within our inner means, and neither do a lot of people in this country. And then when they get in trouble, they want to quiet, cry and whine and have me give more of my money up to help pay for them.
All right, Mark, I'm going to ask you something, my friend. And again, I'm not getting in your business. What college did you attend?
I never went to college. When I was 14 years old, I knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a printer, and I went to a trade school for 2 years. I became a printer, and I've spent 40 years being a printer. I've never
okay,
made more than...
Okay, stop right there, Mark. John, if you're still listening, and I know you are, here's the man you just insulted. Here's the man that's not educated enough to make the proper decisions. Here's the man that you say is a victim. Mark, if John were to call you a victim, what would you say to John?
I would say the only person that I've ever been victimized by is my federal government. They took $700 billion of my hard-earned money, and they gave it to the banks. The banks socked it away in the money. They didn't give it to the people to help pay off any of these mortgages or anything like that. They put it in there to shore up their bottom line, to make sure that their stockholders and stuff like that were all happy. They got the golden parachutes for the guys at the top, and they left everybody else hung out to dry. Is that right?
Yeah, Mark, you could go be a college professor if you wanted to. Okay, John, that guy just blew a hole through your theory about as big enough for me to drive my truck through. So I'll tell you what, John, why don't you just step off to the side, let the common sense people move on ahead. When you formulate another argument for victimization, you know, John, I don't know if you refied your house three times and now you're upside down. I don't know what the situation is, but Mark just blew you out of the water. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. Also, I want to remind you, go to michaelsavage.com for all the news stories of the day and all the things you hear Michael talk about, and for Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, michaelsavage.com. San Diego, Anna. Anna, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Rick. I just wanted to comment on your little monologue about not donating this Christmas season. I found it really ironic because I was doing my Christmas shopping online on Sunday, and I thought, you know what? I am not going to give to everybody that I usually give to every year. I am going to adopt my own family as the family that I adopt this year, particularly my brother. And, you know, a lot of it, Rick, is because I feel completely beat up by everybody. You know, I work hard. I don't call in sick. I try to be the best employee, save my money, pay off my bills, do everything right. And it doesn't seem to be enough, and it's not ever appreciated. So it's funny that you made that comment because I was feeling the very same way this weekend.
You know, and the reason I know the reason I went off on that rant is because I want people to wake up. You know, I mean, conservatives and Christians and even some people, on the left side of the aisle, you know, they just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. We keep getting beat up. We keep getting used. We keep getting financially raped, forgive me, but that's how I term it. With bailouts and the economic crisis and this and that and the other thing, and not so much as a thank you very much, we'll see you later. It's expected. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, with the economic crisis the way it is, and it is a crisis, I'm not embellishing that, maybe we ought to look closer to home, take care of those responsibilities that we are directly responsible for, and certainly the military, that goes without saying, and let the liberals do it. Because statistically, they do 30% less than the people that they're hammering all the time. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense, and I read the same statistics where liberals they volunteer less, they just give less money in contributions. They sort of abdicate all of that over to the government, and they're like, you know, I feel great about saying, oh, we need this, we need that, but I don't want to be personally involved or responsible, so I'm going to ask the government to do it. And I have friends who are Democrats, and it always frustrates me. And in fact, one of them, his father called me a racist this year because I wasn't voting for Obama, and I thought, you know what? You ridiculous people, you think I'm so bad? I want you to experience life without people like me, okay? So maybe I'm not going to give this year to the charities or whatever it else it is, and you're going to realize just how important we are to society, how much we contribute, how much we're worth. I mean, I just really am so beat up, and when you made those comments, I just thought, oh, my God, I'm not the only one who feels totally unappreciated, completely beat up, and I just was coming unhinged after your last caller, John, or whatever his name was, you know, anybody who bought those mortgages that were the adjustable ones, they're the ones that got themselves in trouble because they thought they were going to get out of them before the five-year arm was up. That's bottom line. That is what happened. People didn't read, they got lazy, and they didn't want to be responsible.
Well, you can apply that same dynamic, and great call, by the way, Anna. You can apply that same dynamic to government. People get fat, happy, complacent, lazy. They advocate the responsibility, and then they turn around going, hey, how'd this happen? Wait a minute. What's this about? Oh, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. No. You were intrinsically involved in the very beginning. You chose to drop out of the dynamics of whatever it was, and now you're living with the consequences. Anna, if we teach our children one thing that will serve them better than any amount of education, it's consequence for action. Anna, I appreciate the call very, very much, or in this case, consequence for inaction. Let's go to New Hampshire. New Hampshire, Dennis. Dennis, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call. 2 points. Number one, I'm taking exception to something that's going on right now in the news. It's called the government bailout. Government bailout. Government bailout. Government bails out AIG. They bail out Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac. They don't do it. We do it. It's we the people that do it. We've entrusted a bunch of people in Congress to look after our best interests, and they're not doing it. We have Mr. Franks. We have Mr. Dodd. We have Nancy Pelosi. We have Harry Reid. They're not doing it. It's not their money they're playing with. It's our money. The American public doesn't understand. I learned this 46 years ago in high school, that it is not their money. It is our money.
Now, Dennis, you're absolutely spot on. First of all, the government doesn't have a job. Well, they do. Their job is to separate you from your disposable dollar. They don't have a job. They don't create income. All right. They don't create income in the fashion that we talk about when we talk about corporate bottom line. They don't, unless they print it or they borrow it from another country or they take it from you. And you know what? I got no problem paying for infrastructure, roads, highways, schools. I got no problem paying for that. What I do have a problem with are the liberals, and please, don't take away from this, oh, you're some right-wing fanatic. But, I mean, they are liberals. You just mentioned them, Dennis. Barney Franks, Nancy Pelosi, Reid, and all the rest. You know, it was only 2.5 years ago that we were listening to another subcommittee talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and whether you like him or whether you don't. President Bush warned 17 times, 17 separate times in the last 12 months, that if they didn't get a hold of this thing, if they didn't get a handle on it, if they didn't put the brakes on this thing, it was going to collapse. And he wasn't the guy that came up with the idea. Who told him that before? Bill Clinton. He told him the same thing. Barney Franks, actually, and I don't know if I've got it around here, but Barney Franks, I've got a recording of Barney Franks in 2004, 2000, maybe 2005, saying he takes it personally that these conservatives are using the sky is falling on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That's not right. The American people deserve better. Oh, really? Well, if we'd have done something then, we wouldn't be looking at $6.3 trillion now. All you have to do is read. All you have to do is follow the timeline. And it makes perfect sense. Dennis, I got one last question for you. I told you about the guy that I said Merry Christmas to, and he kind of grimaced and looked at me like, oh, man. He just wants to get through it so he can get out the other side and get into the new year and come up with a survival strategy. You feel the same way?
Absolutely not. No. No, I have hope because I have faith in myself. I have faith in this radio program. I have faith in people like you. I have faith in people like Michael Savage. I have faith in all the – I have faith. We will.
And, you know what you just described? You just described the American spirit, the spirit that built this great nation, that supported this great nation, that maintains it, and that day in and day out fights the good fight. And for that, Dennis, I thank you very, very much. Good call. Good call. Trent in Sacramento. Trent, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Trent?
I'm doing all right. I work in the repo business. I actually clean out the houses for the banks. And 99 out of 100 of them, they leave behind pictures of themselves in Hawaii, out on their boat. You know, they leave behind stock wheels and tires, which means they're putting on brand new wheels and tires on their cars. And, you know, you talk to the neighbors, these people are throwing lavish parties, and the neighbors have no idea they're losing their house. You know, And I wonder why they lose their house. It's because they're living beyond their means. So most of these people are doing it to themselves. I don't feel sorry for very many of them at all.
Well, Trent, yeah, I ran some of the largest foreclosure divisions in America for Stewart Title, First American Heritage, Tycor, Chicago. You're right. The neighbors don't know the house is in foreclosure unless they have some inside knowledge because, from the foreclosure proceedings through the notice of election demand, it takes about 9 months. These people live there for 9 months, not paying a dime. The thing falls into foreclosure. The poor guy living next door is working two jobs to make his house payment. This thing forecloses, then the one down the street, then the one across the street. This guy won't see his property value if he lives to be 150. And that's the peripheral dynamic to this whole foreclosure mess. Even the guy doing the right thing doesn't come through this thing unscathed. Very, very good call. I appreciate it. Again, I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. The book is Psychological Nudity, Mike's fifth book. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We're going to come back. We're going to take more of your calls. Now I'm all drove up. See, I was nice and mellow. John got the thing going, basically telling me 2 and 2 equals 5 3/4. And now I'm all upside down again. All right. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Are you looking forward to Christmas? Can you make it through all this economic downturn, the political mess, a new administration coming in? Look, there are a lot of things to be concerned about, and you should be concerned. But, you know, try to hang on to that Christmas spirit. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It would be nice if we could line up all the people who made the mistakes and punish them in a way that would have no impact on the innocent. I think all of us remember in school, the teachers we hated most were the teachers who said, if one person misbehaved, the whole class would get extra homework. I don't want to give the whole country extra homework because automobile executives in the past misbehaved.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm speechless. Here is a guy, I wish I had that piece of sound, maybe I can locate that for you, where in 2005, he was being warned for the 16th time in the same year that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were going under. And he and I believe Maxine Waters was in on this love fest too. No, there's no problem, and how dare you right-wing zealots over there, you know, bring this up to make us look bad, and just on and on and on and on and on. He said, oh, no, there's no problem. The sky is falling. That's not fair. Unbelievable. But that's a liberal. Somehow, some way in that convoluted mind of his, it's rationalized as, well, we see the light, and we are the chosen ones to lead you through, you know what? The only thing I can say to that is I bet Barney Frank was spanked too much as a child. But maybe that's what it was, or not enough. I don't know. You know, I told you, this whole thing started very innocently. I was walking down the hall. A guy comes in towards me. I wish him Merry Christmas. And he gets this look on his face like, you know, told him I backed into his car or something. And I say, hey, what's up? Now I just want to get through this, get out the other side, get my survival strategy started for the new year. That whole thing, yada, yada. And I started to think, well, how many people truly feel that way? You know, I immerse myself in this for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, the economy, the politics, the this, the that. And I think I can walk out relatively unscathed. But I got to tell you, I was walking with my son and passed some Christmas trees. Not the fake kind, but the real, and the smell. Just that odor, just that smell. It made me feel good, and it was like my mind snapped. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't any big deal. Nobody was, you know, ringing bells and ho, ho, ho. There was none of that. We were just walking. I don't even know what we were talking about. We were talking about something past these Christmas trees, and I just got that smell, and it was like, oh, yeah, I remember Christmas. And it took me totally, totally away from what I do every day of the week. And I started thinking, well, maybe other people feel that way, you know, with people losing their homes and losing their jobs and the bailouts and the Obama and this and that. And the other thing, you know, you get to a point where, okay, enough. I got to get my head above water, get a big, big breath of air, fill my lungs, and then I'll go under again and fight the good fight. Let's go to New York. Mike. Mike, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Mike?
Good. I agree with you on the Christmas feeling that you talked about earlier. Mine's a little different view on it, though. You hear all about these people getting bailed out or planning to get bailed out for the mortgage crisis and stuff. Well, my view, my story's a little bit different. You know, I went to medical school, graduated about 7 years ago, and, you know, I took out student loans in order to get my degree in order to help people make a living. And the way it stands right now, 7 years later, you know, my student loans are over almost $1,000 a month, and reimbursements keep getting cut more and more. Medicare, as you know, the problems we have with Medicare.
Right, right.
And you don't hear anything about, well, you know, I called up Sally Mae, who has my student loan. I said, you know, can you help me out with an interest rate reduction? Well, no, you can't, because you already consolidated, so there's nothing we can do. And this is, you know, a country that's supposedly, you know, trying to promote education. I can't even get a better rate for my student loan, and I'm trying my hell to pay it. I'm not looking for any help. I just want a little lower rate, and I can't do that. But you had a friend of mine in Las Vegas who had three homes who was making $20,000 a year. You know, he's resolved from that debt, you know, and granted he had to go in full
closure. Let me ask, this is interesting. This is an interesting scenario. You wanted to be a doctor.
Yes.
You wanted to go to med school.
That's correct.
And I can understand that. I wanted more than anything. I never planned to be in the oil and gas business or to become an attorney or to do any of this. I wanted to be a surgeon more than anything in the world. I flunked out of chemistry three times. I mean, tutors. I did. My mind just couldn't. Now, I can remember case law and precedent, like, you know, my name. But I couldn't remember tables. I couldn't do that. So my hat's off to anybody in that field. But you wanted to be a doctor. You went to med school. You knew that you couldn't go unless you had some financial help, so you took out loans. You come out the other end. I assume you're a doctor now somewhere, and you've got these student loans that are killing you. What is it you think the government should do for you?
Well, basically, you know, I'm totally not into government help. I feel that I can get myself out of the jam. However, you know, when I went into school 9 years ago, I was presented a different picture of healthcare, and the product that I have now to offer is, you know, it's almost like a person who lost his home saying, look, my home isn't worth as much anymore. My education isn't worth as much anymore, and I'm willing to pay back the loan because I took it out. I totally agree with that. And when I asked Sallie Mae, can you lower my rate at least a few percentage points, because it's at 9%, they told me, well, there's nothing we can do. The government policies, once you consolidate your loans, you can't lower them anymore. So,
but, you know, the tough part of this, I would assume for you, Mike, is, you know, even a person that, let's say you bought a, let's use Southern California, you bought a house in 2000 for $425,000. This artificial inflation of the real estate market took it up to $1 million, $1.2 million.
True.
You kept refinancing because you could use this and you could use that. And so you kept taking loans out based on this artificial property value, right? Bottom falls out. Now you've got a $500,000 house with $1.2 million loan on it. Are you a victim?
Well, I hate to use that word because I don't like to be considered a victim at all. You know, I don't like to use
No, you know, well, I'll answer it for you. No, you're not. You made a conscious decision. You bought a house for $500,000. It was going up and up and up and up. You saw, you know, two bedroom, two bath, 1,000 square foot houses going for $500,000. I mean, anybody in their right mind knows or should know that can't last forever. But even with that knowledge, you kept borrowing on it. You kept refinancing it, and you'd take the money and you'd buy this or you'd buy that. And then at the top of this thing, you're into this house for $1.2 million, $1.3 million. The thing crashes. Now you're back at a $500,000 real value market, but you owe $1 million. That's no one's fault but the person.
That's true. And I'm just bringing it up because I'm saying, you know, we don't hear about all these students with these loans. And you know, if these homeowners are complaining, you know, these students have every right to complain, too. And I don't agree that we should. I'm paying back my loan no matter what. I'm going to do my best to do it.
No, and Mike, I appreciate that. And I hope nothing but the best for you. But again, it's all about personal decision and consequence for action. You go into a field, you go into a career. And a lot of people that are being laid off right now are thinking the same thing. Wait a minute. You know, 5 years when I went to school to do this, or 6 years or 7 years, and I went into this field, nobody told me this was going to happen. Well, nobody knew. You know, life is not fair many, many times. Fair's got nothing to do with it, as Clint Eastwood said in a movie one time. Fair's got nothing to do with it. Things happen. You have to be prepared for the worst case scenario. You know, $1,000 a month for a student loan, that's a heck of a bite. But that didn't happen overnight. Those were all choices made by you, and you realize that. You've just said as much. But I think what you're saying is, hey, everybody else is getting a piece of the pie. I'd like to get a piece, too. And my only caveat to that would be, let's be very, very careful when we start thinking in those terms. Because once you start doing that, then you start getting cities asking for bailouts, schools asking for bailouts, even though they're funded by the federal government for the most part. You've got people, car dealers asking for bail. Everybody's asking for a bailout. That's not capitalism. You know, that's not capitalism. That is verging on socialism. You know, the government's now buying up, you know, interest in banks. Whoa, 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 whoa. What happened to buying up the at-risk mortgages? Listen, Mike, you know, I feel for you, man, but, you know, hopefully it'll work out with you. Victorville, Marie. Marie, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Marie?
I'm doing well, Rick. Basically, I was calling to just pretty much say everything that you just mentioned.
Well, here, let's pretend like I didn't say it, and you can say it for me. How's that?
Well, I'm a single homeowning mom. Fortunately, I am still employed, but, you know, I saved up my money for years. I put 30% down on my 30-year fixed home with a mortgage that I can afford. I drive an old car. I paid cash for it. I have zero credit card debt, and I get really sick and tired of the typical liberal agenda to all of a sudden just rear up and blame somebody else for getting themselves into this debt. The lending institutions, when you walked into a bank, there was nobody there holding a gun to your head saying you better sign these papers. You got to take some personal responsibility for your financial situation. I've got a year and a half in reserves. I didn't get there by spending and using my credit cards.
See, but you nailed it just a moment ago. Politicians, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, on the left side of the aisle, their power base comes from their constituency. The more gifts they offer them and promise them from the public treasury, the more votes they get. So to look at the American people in the face and say, you know what, the CEO screwed up, the union screwed up, and let's be honest, some of you screwed up. They're never going to do that. They're never going to do that because they won't jeopardize, not for one moment, a possible vote out there. When the truth of the matter is, Marie, no one's 100% wrong 100% of the time. No one's 100% right 100% of the time. So the American people need to look at this and say, you know what, this bailout, unfortunately, people like you, Marie, are paying for it. You're paying for other Americans that were not so frugal, that were not so responsible. But at the same time, when everybody's at the party, you got to look at the CEOs, you got to look at the unions, you got to look at the politicians that are joined at the hip with some of these people and say, huh, no, we're not doing this. If you're going to fail, you're going to fail. Because I guarantee you, Marie, if you had not been so responsible and you had not been able to make your mortgage payment and you had not been able to do what you needed to do to put your money in reserves, they would let you fail. They would let you fail, knowing full well that Marie will come back a stronger person for it. Now, why is that okay for you, but it's not okay for them?
And well, Obama has basically said, for all you people who are working hard and paying your mortgage, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You know, welcome. I hate the term nanny state because it's been so overused, but that is essentially what happens if you get too many liberals in power, knowing full well their seat at the table of power is maintained by the number of people that are behind them, and they'll promise them anything under the sun to make that happen. That you remember that girl? I played that for you before. They were interviewing a bunch of people that were voting, and the girl said something to the effect, you know, he said if I help him, he'll help me. I'm not worried about putting gas in my tank. I'm not worried about making my mortgage payment. That's the mentality that we will be dealing with in the next 4 years. I'll see if I can find that for you. All right. Let's go to Bill in San Francisco. Bill, thanks for waiting. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I just wanted to mention I tuned in right when you were talking about the automakers and the bailout and comparing it with the financial bailout. And I've just been just watching this daily and just scratching my head wondering when the when they first started talking about bailing out these banks, I didn't hear any talk or about financial plans, business plans, nothing of that nature did they want to see. All they talked about was this this mortgage debt that they were going to buy up. And I'm sure that these guys from these finance companies were flying in on their own personal corporate jets. Yet when the automakers get to Washington, all of a sudden they want to see business plans. They're worried about your finding on your corporate
debt. Bill, my friend, you just nailed it. You just absolutely nailed it. You peel back the onion to the point where my eyes are starting to tear up, and hopefully every other American that's listening is feeling the same way. The fix was in. Appreciate the call. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Thank you so much for letting us be along. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. I want to remind you to go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. All the news stories of the day, all the things that Michael talks about, and Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, you'll find right there at michaelsavage.com. Plan to spend some time there today. I want to get right back to your calls. You know what? I think I've answered my question that I started some time ago. How do you feel going into the Christmas holidays? Oh, my God, he said Christmas. Well, it's Christmas to me. It can be whatever you want to you. I mean, are you going in with some intrepidation, or are you just trying to get past that date on the calendar, come out the other side with the economic downturn, and you got your house you're worried about and your job and what have you? Or are you one of those people that can just stay right in the moment? See, man, I really, really, really appreciate people that can do that, because I can't. They live in that moment. You know, I mean, the whole world could be going to hell around them, but they're right there in that moment. Then it's through, and they can move on to something else. I wish I could do that. I can't. Richard in New York. Richard, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Richard?
Good, good. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have two comments. When is enough. When are the people going to stand up and fight these politicians in Congress? You know, they're giving our money away, and people are just sitting there and let these people rip us off blind. You know, if this was happening in any other country, they'd be taking these people out of Congress by the neck and fighting for the, you know, to get things done the right way, you know?
Well, yeah, and what you're saying is being echoed by fellow Americans from coast to coast. Richard, this is what happens. Let me see how I can – this is what happens. This is what happens to a free society. When you've been given so much for so long, with so little, if anything, required of you, you become complacent. And this is not a personal indictment. I think it's a reality. But you advocate responsibility time and time and time and time and time again. Well, guess what? Not everybody has the same agenda that the rest of us do. And so you end up living with whatever it is they dictate that you live under. And that's where we are. And somehow, someway, we've got to find a harbor someplace and start throwing some tea overboard and get a handle on this again. Richard, I appreciate the call. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. You're in the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Well, I've got people upset thinking I want to throw them out of their homes, and if they fail in life, I'm going to take some pleasure in that. You know, that's not true. I haven't said anything that even remotely comes close to that. What I am saying is there is consequence for action. Or inaction. There's always a consequence. You know, there's a price that's paid in everything you do in life. Most of the time, that price is so small, you don't even notice it. Sometimes it's so great, you think you can't bear it. But there's a consequence for action. You know, something relatively benign like, hey, Merry Christmas, you know, opened up this whole thing. You know, a lot of people not looking forward to Christmas this year, and that's a shame. I mean, it's a damn shame. A lot of people had no hand in what's going on to them right now. Some people did. And they need to acknowledge that. And we need to acknowledge that. Just like you would with a child. No, I'm not calling you a child. But what I'm saying is, you know, if you went out and took out a loan that was three times more than you could pay for in the worst case scenario, then you're responsible. You know, the bank's there to fill an order. That's what they're there for. They're not the moral conscience of America. No corporation should be. To that extent, that's not capitalism. That's socialism. You know, save me from myself. That's a liberal mantra. That's not a common sense mantra. And in Barney Frank, I mean, how this guy can get up in the morning, and again, I'm not going off on some political spiel here, but I'm just pointing out the obvious. How this guy can get up every morning, go to work, and look at the camera, knowing what he has said. Well, let me give you an example. First of all, I want to hear Frank telling us about how we shouldn't spank all the kids in school. I want you to listen to Frank today. First, listen to this.
It would be nice if we could line up all the people who made the mistakes and punish them in a way that would have no impact on the innocent. I think all of us remember in school, the teachers we hated most were the teachers who said, if one person misbehaved, the whole class would get extra homework. I don't want to give the whole country extra homework because automobile executives in the past misbehaved.
Okay. All right. For whatever that's worth. And, of course, he was the one that was a walking point on this $740, now $6.3 trillion bailout with the mortgage industry, right? Okay, now I want you to hear Barney Frank. What was it? 4 years and 9 months ago. All right? This was Barney Frank in 2003, one of the 16 times that we came to the table with him talking about the mortgage crisis. This is what he said 5 years ago.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are not in a crisis. The more people, in my judgment, exaggerate a threat of safety and soundness, the more people conjure up the possibility of serious financial losses to the Treasury, which I do not see. I think we see entities that are fundamentally sound financially and withstand some of the disaster scenarios. And even if there were a problem, the federal government doesn't bail them out. But the more pressure there is there, then the less I think we see in terms of affordable housing.
Okay, so basically this is a good liberal spin. I want the constituency to hear me talking about affordable housing. Damn the facts. You know, forget the, he just said this industry can stand a disaster scenario. And besides that, the government wouldn't bail them out anyway. Yet, just a few months ago, he was saying that's exactly what needed to happen. Now, you tell me any other job where the mix, that's not even a mixed message. That's a 360 degree turn on what he said. He said that 5 years ago. One of the many times that Bush said, hey, you need to get a handle on this. Just like the many times Clinton said, whether you liked him or not, irrelevant. He said, you got to get a handle on this. Barney Frank was right there on point saying, no, this is wrong. You shouldn't be telling this is wrong. It's a sound thing. I don't see it. Even they can withstand a disaster scenario. And besides, the government wouldn't bail them out anyway. And what happens a couple months later or a couple months ago, 5 years later, the government needs to do this to keep it from going under. You would lose your job. I would lose my job if you took a position like that. It's no wonder people are going, man, I just want to get past Christmas. Just get past the 25th. I'm looking at the calendar. Let me get past the 25th, breathe a collective sigh of relief, and then move on to a survival strategy for 2009. God knows where we're going with that with Barack Obama. Oh, wait a minute. I know where we're going. I want to hear what Barack Obama is going to bring to the White House. Now, I want you to listen critically, all right? Not passively. Listen critically to what President-elect Obama says needs to be in the White House to make everything okay. I want you to
thinking
listen.
About the diversity of our culture and inviting jazz musicians and classical musicians and poetry readings in the White House so that once again we appreciate this incredible tapestry that's America. I think is going to be incredibly important, particularly because we're going through hard times. And historically, what has always brought us through hard times is that national character, that sense of optimism, that willingness to look forward, that sense that better days are ahead. I think that our art and our culture, our science, that's the essence of what makes America special, and we want to project that as much as possible in the White House.
Yeah, okay. Well, now, somebody tell me exactly what he said, other than, hey, better times are ahead. You know, it's a new day tomorrow. It's always greener on the other side of the two birds in the hand worth more than... It was nothing. He said nothing. And it's pretty easy to look at better days ahead when somebody else is paying the bills. All right, Ted in New York. Ted, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Ted?
Well worth the wait. You know, it seems that everyone goes down to Washington to get grilled in front of Barney Frank's hot dog stand. Barney Frank is one of the people responsible for the mess that the country is in. I mean, you go back to September, and you look at why Lehman Brothers went under. The market crashed. Our IRAs and 401s were destroyed because loans, home loans, are given out to unqualified people, including illegal aliens. And it appears to me that the American people are just going to go quietly into the night on this, because the media, nor Republican or Democratic Party establishment, will beat the drum about this like they beat the drum for the past month with the United Auto Workers. If they were to beat the drum in September about what took place with illegal aliens getting home loans and people who didn't qualify getting home loans, Bernanke and Paulson would be down in Wall Street today selling cheeseburgers.
Oh, amen to that, brother. I mean, that is... Ted, just humor me. Give me that last line again for posterity.
If the people would have known what was going on back in September, would have been drum beaten to their heads about illegal aliens getting home loans, unqualified people getting home loans, Bernanke and Paulson would be down in Wall Street today selling cheeseburgers.
I'm sorry, Ted. I didn't mean to belabor the point. I just enjoyed that mental picture so much. Little paper hat. You want fries with that? Absolutely. That's where they should be. Ted, I appreciate the call very, very much. Don't be a stranger. San Diego, Mark. Mark, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, we tried this bailout once before. You're old enough to remember back in the 60s and 70s when the steel industry was going under.
Yep.
And they went to Washington and asked for millions and millions, and Carter administration gave $300 million to one of the steel companies, and it went under a couple months later because the union workers wouldn't budge, and the suppliers went under as well. So,
well, Mark, what you're talking about, yeah, the steel industry bailout, and I was very, very young, but I've read about it. They weren't giving the steel industry a bailout. They were giving the union that controlled the steel industry a bailout. And like everything else the union touches, they use it up, and when it's done, they move on to something else. And that's exactly what this Big Three automaker bailout is all about. It's about propping up the benefits and what's necessary to keep the contracts viable that the UAW have worked out with the Big Three. That's all this is. It's a bailout for unions, not the Big Three. You know, they ought to call it the Detroit Three, because the other car plants aren't having the problem.
You're right. You're right. You know, hey, and if they go under, the other car plants are going to sell more cars to the American people. So, unfortunately, it may not have to happen, but, hey, it has to take its natural course.
Amen to that. I appreciate it, Mark, very, very much. Larry in Texas. Larry, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Hey, I was just listening about the bailout and callers calling in about wanting to be bailed out, people wanting to be bailed out now on their personal mortgages. And I just parallel that with it's a learned behavior, like our welfare system. You take a child that whenever mommy and daddy needed money, they went to the government to get money. That's what the child learned. And I was raising a family, when my mom and dad needed something, they got up and they went to work. So when I got older and an adult, I needed money, I went and looked for a job. A child grows up seeing mommy and daddy go to the government. They get to be an adult, they need money, they go to the government. Now I'm seeing that with this bailout. You know, they're bailing out, you know, the auto industry. And all of a sudden you have people saying, well, bail me out on my loans. You want to bail out the mortgage? And it's learned behavior, and the government is teaching people this and allowing it. And I didn't hear Obama say anything about anybody, hey, why don't you get up in the morning, put your boots on, and go to work?
No, what he said was he was actually chastising the Republicans. If memory serves, Larry, he was chastising the Republicans for using that cliche, saying that, well, the Republicans want you to just get up in the morning and pull yourself up by your bootstraps, even if you don't have boots. Well, guess what? If you need food, if you need to take care of your family, whether you got boots or not, you go work.
Yes, yes. And because I grew up here in South Texas. I work in the oil field, and a man can come down here. He's willing to work. He can work 40, 60, 80, 100 hours a week if he wants and earn a living.
Larry, let me ask you something, because this whole conversation, and it's true with live talk radio, and I guess that's why I've got such a passion for it. You know, one seemingly very benign comment spurs a whole range of emotion in dialogue. I wish this guy Merry Christmas, and he goes, man, I just want to get through it. Are you viewing it the same way? I mean, what are you looking at when you're looking towards Christmas?
Oh, I do not view it in the same way. I'm looking towards Christmas about celebrating the birth of my Lord and Savior, and trying to
to look at it as a season of giving and joy and celebration. And I could tell my wife, you know, she may, and between me and my wife worries a little bit more about the money. She's a school teacher. I work in the oil field. So, baby, we're going to go to work in the morning. You know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get up and go to work. And I'll, you know, back in 99, I got a loan. That there's probably no way I deserve to get a loan if they would have stayed with the standards of having money in the bank, having a good work record. I'd gone through some trouble times the last 11 years of my life. Yeah, I've had a steady job. I've been working. And when I got that loan, things had changed. But my track record did not show me to get a loan. I got an interim loan, a construction loan. Someone showed me how to do it, and thinking I'm going to have to put money down when I went in to close, and to come to find out it was a second.
Yeah.
Oh, you can roll all this in. You don't need any cash. And I'm like, well, okay, you know. And, I mean, I continue to work and made a dedication to pay my bills, and I've made it through it. But
see, that's you know, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you know, if you do something like that, that's on you. That's on you. And if you realize it as a person of character, like you sound like you are, you do what you got to do to fix the mess. You just do. You know, you mentioned that the Community Reinvestment Act, if anybody's interested, that's where the whole bailout mess started under the Carter regime. I've given you the timeline so many times. But when you tell a bank, as the federal government, you're going to penalize them if they don't start making more loans to inner urban areas, if they don't start making more loans to minorities, if you tell them, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close, documented income, employment verification, and credit history are dated criteria for making these loans. What is that? What is that? If you tell the lenders, as the federal government, you're going to start being penalized if you don't do this, what are they going to do? They're going to start doing it. They don't care. They're making the money. Brokers don't care. They're making the loans. Many people, very unscrupulous people with no moral base or character, they don't care. They're getting the house. Everybody's getting a piece of the pie until the whole house of cards collapses and the American taxpayer that's working his butt off has to clean up the mess. Guess what? I'm tired of cleaning up the mess, and I'm guessing you are too. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-TALK, 1-800-449-8255. Well, we've been all around the barn, as they say, on this thing, but hopefully you're still looking forward to the Christmas holiday. We will weather the storm. We've weathered storms before, but it's just a matter of degrees, I suppose. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Las Vegas, Andrew, thanks for waiting. You're on The Savage Nation. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, no question Democrats have a hand in all this loan mess, but not quite sure why Republicans wouldn't, because it would seem to me that Republicans are in charge of a lot of these banks, and no one was pointing a gun at their head, telling them to make loans in such a risky market. So they have a hand in it, whether you like it or not, and they made the loans in a risky market, knowing that the government would back up the loans when they went bad. So sounds like there's a lot of greed there to me.
Well, I don't know that it's a partisan issue, quite frankly. The reason I point out Barney Frank is because of what he said. The reason I point out Carter administration and Bill Clinton and even Bush is because of what they did and what they said. I'm pretty sure, Andrew, when it comes to greed and when it comes to the green, when it comes to the Benjamins, you know, Democrats, whoop, I don't want to make any of that money. Republicans, give me all the money. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The policies that are set, the guidelines that are set, it's not because, you know, I'm a conservative and you're a liberal or vice versa. It doesn't matter. I know what the CRA is, and I know what administration started that, and I know how it was maintained and how it was perpetuated through several different administrations. That was the beginning of all the bailouts right there. You know, there's enough of the blame to go around for everybody. Once you're in the beltway, you know, we tear each other's heads off, Andrew, you and I, talking about you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. And, you know, at the end of the day, Republicans and Democrats are going to the same bar for the three martini dinner. So, you know, Andrew, I look at it this way. It doesn't really matter to me other than, you know, the same people that are telling us now what we need to do were the same people that were telling us 3, 4, 5 years ago there's no problem. That bothers me a little bit. At the end of the day, we're all in this thing together, and we need to get it fixed. And I don't mean fixed so as to, you know, pad somebody's constituency resume. I mean fixed so the American people can go out and enjoy some quality of life. Unless, of course, you want to go to socialism. And then it doesn't matter what you think or what I think. Austin, Texas, Brian. Brian, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, long wait, but great show. So real quick, I just wanted to say, John, your caller, if anybody hadn't heard him earlier, one thing, whatever happened to 20%? You know, you put some money down. I've got people that I work with that bought houses for $300,000. They're making $40,000 a year. They're crazy. I told them they're crazy.
Well, you have to. That's the reason for the down. You've got to get invested in what you owe. Otherwise, you know, nobody values something that's given to them more than they do something that they work for or that they're invested in. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. And you've got to look ahead and you got to think, oh, maybe my property's going to go down, up. But you've got to be prepared for that. And you talked about that a lot. Like, say, it was on hold for a while, but you kind of.
Hey, at the end of the day, it all goes back to this. Personal responsibility, consequence for action. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, tall, short, fat, thin, makes no difference. There's always a consequence for action or inaction. There's always some responsibility that goes with it, personal responsibility. And that's what bothers me. What I'm seeing now is not holding people personally responsible. It's holding someone responsible that had very little, if anything, to do with these bailouts. The American people, as I said, it's time to find a harbor someplace and start throwing some tea overboard. Enjoy the Christmas holiday. They only come around once a year. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation.
Savage.